The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
Scott Braun joins us right now. He's got one of the best podcasts in Major League Baseball. Foul Territory is the podcast, and he joins us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. Scott, good to talk to you again. How you doing?
Nick and Chris, I'm great, and everything seems pretty good in Braves country right now, right?
Yeah, we have things that are not necessarily going well for some individuals, but collectively, this team is absolutely taking care of business again to start the year.
Yeah, it's been awesome. And also, I was just, you know, rechecking some OPSs before we started our little combo. And, I mean, most of the guys are not even that hot yet, if you think about it. I know Acuna's been talked about a lot, right? We're looking for more power from him, but that's okay. We can save it for later in the season. Ozuna's on another planet right now. But if you look at OPSs for most of these Braves, they're going to finish higher than that. So the offense is going to get even better in my mind.
And the starting pitching, this series aside, you know, they were sputtering along for a little while, too. We know that they lost Spencer Strider. It is pretty scary that they're at 17-6, all things considered, right now.
I agree. And Ronaldo Lopez has been incredible. I think the expectation was, hey, let's try and get a 4 or 5 starter out of this. And instead, this turns into one of the best starters in the league at the moment. So the problem, of course, which I'm sure you've talked about, is what does this look like in August, September, right, beyond for him? He is a veteran. He's been around for a while. But even just to carry innings right now for this team is huge. And I expect Alex Anthopoulos to be more active at the trade deadline for another starter, because to me there's a difference between a regular season rotation and a buff rotation. You look at each pitcher, and nowadays I go, is this a playoff starter? Do I feel good about this guy in games 1, 2, or 3? So I still think they'll be interested in that regard when we get to the trade deadline.
Lopez is 2-for-20 after this, and it's interesting because I think the plan, because of innings mostly, was, hey, he beat out Elder, we're going to make him a starter, we're going to stretch him out now instead of having to stretch him out later, we'll stretch him out in the spring. I don't know if anything is going to come into play, but with Charlie Morton, Max Fried, and maybe the beginning of the year without Strider, I'm absolutely believing that 2-for-20, you don't have to go look for a starter because I think you actually have one, the guy who might be the pitcher of the month in the month of April in all of Major League Baseball.
So you're saying Ronaldo Lopez for October?
I'm saying for the next 2 years as well. He's a starter. Oh, I'm not thinking about putting him back in the bullpen. This guy is a starter.
No, see, that part I agree with in terms of stuff and what he looks like. The problem is the innings. If you go off of history, and I don't care, right? I'm more old school in this regard because teams have tried this for years and it mostly doesn't work. And Alex Anthopoulos actually tried to be more careful with innings with certain players, and he's been a little bit more loose these days because nothing really works, right? We can get into pitching injuries, which we've talked about a lot this year. So for me, I just would say the chance that Ronaldo Lopez has his stuff at this level when we get to September and October is low based on past precedent of how guys do when they haven't pitched much for a few years in a starting role, right? Like a reliever is, it's just a different role. So maybe he shocks the world and stays this way and, you know, finishes with a 3 ERA and his stuff is still, you know, playing in the mid to upper 90s. But history says you need to have a good backup plan. I'm just saying that's how it's gone. Jordan Hicks is like this right now in San Francisco. The Cardinals never gave him a true chance to start. He looks great, but I don't think he's ever gone more than, I don't know, 60, 70 innings in his career.
Well, I go back to Bryce Elder hitting that wall. He says mentally, but it looked like physically in the second half of the season last year. That's why, Scott, you're absolutely right. You got to have a plan B.
Yeah, that's the thing with Lopez. It's just likely that, I mean, of course, injury is the worst, you know, problem that can arise here. But I would say the larger chance is that you're like, hey, this guy's stuff's down a little bit. And sometimes it gets down far enough. Michael Lorenzen had this last year, too, with the Phillies, because he was pitching in a relief role for most of his career. Goes over to Detroit, becomes an all-star starter, has the no-hitter with the Phillies, and then just ran out of gas. So it's just pretty common with guys when they haven't pitched like this. That's why you build up your arm and your innings. So I would just warn everyone that we should enjoy this while it lasts, and we should have a nice plan just in case. And there also is a chance that the stuff goes down and they do say, let's try this out in the bullpen for now.
Right. And I think he might go to the bullpen for a little bit. But if they can keep him, whatever stretched out is, he could still be a playoff factor, maybe even starting a game or two, depending on how far they go. I want to ask you about the podcast real quick. And I know A.J. Brzezinski, we've had A.J. on a lot, obviously covered him when he was here. He is what you would call a character in business, you know, the business. He's a character. But I want to ask you something I've put out publicly. I know that everybody's got a story. Everybody's interesting in their own little way. But I'm not sure today's players are going to be as interesting as guys who played in the past. And part of it is they had to work for a living, off seasons, lived in a neighborhood. And all the things we sort of want to sometimes wax poetic about, what do you think, and you've had a bunch of guests on, what do you think about today's player as somebody, as a podcast guest, as opposed to somebody whose career is done, and they might have done it in a more colorful time, in the 50s, 60s, 70s, or 80s even?
Yeah, AJ was ahead of his time because he'd have an off day and he would hop over to be on a national TV show too. Even back in the day when they had Best Damn Sports Show and he was out in the LA area, he would swing by on his off day to hang out with those guys. So he always loved doing this. There are still players like this that exist. I actually think it's more of a sport issue, and that's why we created Foul Territory. We felt like there were so many cool media companies and player run shows that were doing really well in basketball and football, and felt like there was literally zero in baseball, and still haven't seen it since we launched as well. Because, and I'm talking about the authentic conversations, you're getting the best out of the players. You're also still mixing in real takes on the news, which means you do have to be critical of players, which you'll do every day too, and umpires, which have been the talk of the town lately. But I do think that's what's the problem with baseball. It's been so by the book for a while. I think it was like that on the field. It's changed on the field. I think it became more like that off the field. The players are, you know, going home, playing video games, hanging out on the road. They're not out as much. They're not as many stories to tell. And then I just think from a PR perspective, when there's drama in MLB, we joke on our show and go, you know what they call this in the NBA? Tuesday. They have this all the time. They almost play up to it. You know, the guys talking trash to each other, but it plays up the storylines. It makes the regular season slog more interesting. So we're trying to accentuate that. And I think we have a long way to go as a sport.
Scott Braun, host of Foul Territory, with us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. You brought up umpiring. I don't know if you know the answer or can give an answer, but how does Angel Hernandez still have a job? Because I think he's doing this stuff on purpose now. You can't purposefully be this incompetent.
Yeah, the argument from some people saying, oh, well, he doesn't have the worst ump score. I'm like, save it. He had the worst ump calls on Wyatt Langford a couple weeks ago when there were three balls so wide of the strike zone. We've never seen it in the modern era of pitch tracking to be that far off. You almost have to turn your head to look at where the pitch landed. It clearly is not a strike. You're right. He knows he's picking on a rookie in that case. But, yeah, I do think he's trolling the league. At this point, I don't think there's much that is being done, and I haven't seen anyone speak out that has any authority. So I don't know what
protection.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
But Scott, what protection does he have? What is in the umpires? Because in the next collective bargaining agreement, if I can send a 22-year-old down because he can't really handle this, why can't I get rid of an umpire? Why is he the King of England? Why is he a Supreme Court justice at this point?
two reasons. One, he's part of a union, and two, he sued the league. So they might not want to deal with another lawsuit, even though they, I guess, won or it got thrown out. Still expensive. Still costs them probably a lot of money. I think that's stupid. I mean, our league often cares way too much about money, and that's not good for the long term. But you're right, guys. We talked about this way too much on Foul Territory in the last couple weeks. The fact that Angel Hernandez is often the one guy trending on the same day that, you know, a player will hit three home runs or Shohei Ohtani hit the ball 450 feet, and it's like, what's everyone talking about? Angel Hernandez? Enough. I mean, this should have been over 10 years ago. It wasn't as big of a factor last year. Why? Because he missed most of the season with, I think it was a back injury. So, yeah, it's got to happen. I mean, hey, if it was me, I'm commissioner. If I can move a team out of Oakland and bring them to a minor league park for years and I have that kind of authority, you know, among owners, but I can't fire an ump or at least demote him or pay him to go away, what are we doing? So it's actually kind of weird how powerless I feel like everyone is with this.
And if you're on that crew, how do you feel? This guy's making us all look bad. We're guilty by association.
Ooh, wait. I got a good answer for you on this because, you know, Ken Rosenthal's part of Foul Territory as well. We had a really deep combo about this the other day. He said most umps like him. And I have a conspiracy theory that they like him because he makes them look good, right?
Right.
One guy can have
right.
a terrible game.
Yeah.
Hunter Wendell said that the other day when he chucked Aaron Boone from a game for the fan. But for the most part, he overshadows everyone. So someone can have a bad day and they go, well, there's still Angel Hernandez.
You know what he is? That's a great point.
You know what he is?
They're not talking about me. They're talking about him.
You know what they call that in high school? He's the curve guy on the test. He's so bad on the test, we all get a curve. We all get a better grade.
The example I used is, you know how there's the troublemaker in the back of the class. So even if someone else decides to throw something like a paper airplane, they still think it's the troublemaker, even if it wasn't him.
I think Aaron Boone got hit. I think Aaron Boone got hit with that because he's been thrown out like 38 times. I don't think Angel told us. He didn't care who said it. It's you, and you're easy to throw out.
The Wendell stud, yeah.
Yeah.
That was Wendell stat, yeah, with the Yanks. But, yeah, Aaron Boone just caught a stray, and there's a guy behind him complaining, and Hunter made a mistake. He should have owned up to it. We're just in a weird place, and I think the reason that this is coming up so frequently is because we have shows like ours that are calling it out nowadays. You know, I used to work at MLB Network. We didn't talk about that stuff for some reason, even umps. So, there were just a lot of rules, and now we're going, hey, if you threw out Aaron Boone for no reason, we're going to hold you accountable and rip you on our show because all you need to do is be a human being and say, my bad, I didn't realize it was a fan, won't happen again. Instead, he doubled down after the game and was like, I would never do that. I knew someone else was talking. The video says you're wrong.
Right. And there's no, by the way, there's no no replay. You can't actually go to the New York offices to try to get that one fixed at that moment, although video would have proved that Aaron Boone was right. Hey, real quick, I want to ask you, why aren't there trades with Major League Baseball's draft picks? Why, and I don't mean just draft pick for draft pick, because I don't want the rich to be able to buy all the top picks. But what if I could trade the third pick for something that's already up in the majors or the minors? Why isn't that allowed?
Great question. We've talked about this one, too, and the union has told us, the players' side, they want it. They've asked for it. It's a collective bargaining issue. So most of the fun things that we don't have in the league are because the players and the owners like to get into it. So that is the reason. I don't remember the exact reasoning from the owners, some type of leverage, but there is no reason. It's just because of fighting, you know, little petty fights off the field. It would be awesome. I agree. I mean, think about it. The draft's right in the middle of the season. It would add more ammo to the draft. It would make it much more exciting, but unfortunately it doesn't happen. Every once in a while you get a national broadcaster that talks about how a team needs to trade draft picks, and we're like, yeah, you can't. Besides, like, the compensation round picks, like a few picks here and there, you can't trade the real juicy picks that we'd like to see that we see in football and basketball. It's a shame.
Did you see the list? Alex Anthopoulos and the Braves came in third when they were asking about let's rank and rate front offices. So the Dodgers won, Rays two, and they basically doubled up the votes for Alex Anthopoulos. I can't figure out how and why. And I know I live here, but I can't figure out how and why.
I agree. We're going to actually talk about that today. That's the article in The Athletic about the top 10 front offices, and they ranked it. I wasn't shocked at what it looked like. I was shocked at how far ahead everyone had the Dodgers and the Rays compared to the rest of the pack. I agree with you. I think Alex Anthopoulos, you could make the argument that he's number one. I mean, if you look at the Braves in this past stretch, they've won just as many titles as the Dodgers. They've basically been just as dominant, and I think they have just as good of a chance of winning more titles in the next few years than the Dodgers. So I agree with you guys.
Yeah, the Dodgers won the baby trophy. They won the Bayhawks.
The 2020 tourney.
Again, we're in Atlanta, so the weekend.
No. And they should have made a trophy one-third the size of the regular one, and that should be the trophy that they're displaying. That's what I think.
It's the baby trophy.
Yeah, it's the baby trophy. Yeah, that baby piece of metal.
As Rob Manfred would call it, the baby hunk of metal.
Milk Carton Rob. Hey, now that you don't work for MLB Network, I refer to him as Milk Carton Rob because he's missing more times than I think he's supposed to be. What do you think of Manfred's job? Are you allowed to talk about this now?
I say whatever I want. I wish, you know, we had more Adam Silver vibes. I mean, I think the reason why, again, we do a show like we do as Foul Territory is I think the NBA jumped ahead of MLB when it wasn't the case for a while. And that has to do with the way the game is covered and the way that they kind of plan things behind the scenes and the players are partners and work together with the league. So I just hate the stances that we've taken here where they're so against each other. And the other part for me, yes, I can say whatever I want. Here's the part. Yes. Number one, the commission speak out about the umps. Why not? I'd love to, even if you can't, like, tell us why not. I just want more transparency. It's sports. Everything should be fun. And number two, guys, I've gone crazy about the Oakland situation. We could spend a lot of time on that. The fact that we're going to have MLB games in a minor league park for several years, and we don't even have a serious plan about Vegas. John Fisher is a true cancer to our sport. So I don't know why they allow him to get away with what he does, but he's kind of like the Angel Hernandez fall guy. They're like, here's our worst owner. He makes everyone else look good. And he also helps us threaten local cities to get more public money because he's actually leaving. So I hate the way that they handle that.
You can't see us right now. Nick, tell Scott what you just did twice.
I was pointing to you, Chris, because you guys could not be, Scott, any more in agreement when it comes to the owner of the A's.
He doesn't deserve Vegas. Nobody deserves to be playing in a four. You know what I'm hoping for? I'm hoping like hell they host a playoff game in the next few years. It doesn't feel like it's going to happen. Can you imagine if they have to host a playoff game in a 14,000-seat stadium?
Yes.
That would be tremendous.
So this is the guy that's bringing baseball to Vegas, the place that needs to really be wowed. And we're having this guy who has tanked his team for years and pinches every penny. So here's what's going to happen, because they promised the league and the owners that they're going to have a payroll that's going to be like top 10 or something like that by the time they get to Vegas. So I go, okay, either they're going to have some great momentum heading into Vegas and a great team, and that means we had playoff games in Sacramento, or they're going to suck as he usually tanks the team in the last few years, and they'll have no momentum heading into a town that has, you know, a few other entertainment options. So either way, it's a disaster.
How they didn't get $2 billion plus on an expansion in Vegas and allowed this dope, this guy who's been stealing money relative to everybody else, why did they give? This is like waking up on Christmas and the worst kid in the house gets the best present.
Precisely. Couldn't have said it better. Also, landed on third, thought he hit a triple, can't score, right? It's a daddy money thing. It's really bad. It's embarrassed our sport, especially over the past year and a half, that no fan base should be treated this way. So I'm with you. I mean, we've talked a lot about what's gone on there. Also, because every week there's something new. You know, they announced the Sacramento thing, and then he gets up there. He can't remember any players on his team. So he goes, like, he essentially said, I'm paraphrasing, but look it up. I can't wait for Aaron Judge to bash baseballs against our pitchers in this park.
Yep.
What owner? Imagine if you owned a team. Who would say that?
Yeah, it's like the female owner in Major League. It's a real-life baseball owner villain.
It is.
All wrapped up into one.
It's going to be an Academy Award-winning movie one day called Moneyball 2, the real Moneyball.
Well, it makes us appreciate what's going on here in Atlanta. Scott, we always appreciate you coming on. The podcast is Foul Territory. Always great baseball conversation with us and on your program. Thanks again.
Thanks, guys. This was really fun. Appreciate it. Good luck to the Bravos, Nick and Chris. Thanks again.
You got it. We'll talk again real soon.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download The Fan app.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.